and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello and welcome, Ed.
Thank you, Jennifer. And how are you today? That's what I want to know.
I'm doing well. I'm in a good mood today.
Well, you know
this
why?
This is a good day.
You're
because you're here.
Of course.
Yes. Because I'm sitting here with somebody, you know, I would consider you an expert.
In what? This is news. This is breaking NPR
breaking news.
Breaking
news. Math?
No.
Thinking?
No. I think
education?
I'm a student of math. I'm a student of thinking. And
well,
I'm
now
a student
that's
of
interesting
education.
Because...
expertise is hard...
Yeah, but see, if I go to your office at Southwestern, you've got stuff on the wall. I went to school here. I went to school there. I did this. I did that. Doesn't that make you an expert?
No, but it makes me very arrogant. And by the way, for the record, I do not have any diplomas on my wall. Even where I live, I don't have them.
Yeah.
So just I want to correct that fact.
Okay.
That misspeak. But I do have a lot. I've published a lot of things, and I do that. But yeah, it's interesting. What does even expert mean?
Yeah.
I think that, you know, compared to maybe a lot of people in the general public, I know more about math than others. But I think that, you know, there are mathematicians that are stronger than I am. It's interesting, actually. So we all, yeah. Where do we cross the line in the sand to become experts? When you get that graduate degree or I don't know.
Well, where do we cross the line?
Well,
what do you think?
I don't know. I think that, you know, it's interesting in today's world. What an expert even means is thought-provoking. How many times have people in our listening audience had some kind of pain, you know, some physical pain, and then gone online to one of these, you know, online things and looked it up and said, oh, I got this or I got this or here's a remedy or here's a thing. And then they kind of find out what it is. Of course, even 20 years ago, that's unheard of. You'd have to go to your doctor, who is the expert, and then use that person. Now, with information, the way it flows, it's interesting to wonder, you know, can we all be pseudo-experts in these various things? And maybe we have to forego some of that expertise and realize that to be successful, we have to actually have a broad sense of the world.
Well, and I want there to be experts. You know, I want my airplane pilot to be an expert. I don't want him or her to have gone online and read some articles about... You know,
and simulate flight simulator. Right.
I want my airplane.
Did you know that I used to fly?
No. Mm-hmm.
Would you fly with me?
Future episode discussion.
The answer is no, by the way.
We got to discuss that, though. That's fascinating. We're going to do that in a future
episode. All mathematics.
Episode.
That's all. Flying is all math.
That's so interesting.
Vectors.
We're going to talk about that.
I think you're right. I think that there are certain vocations, doctor, pilot, other really impactful things to our everyday lives where we want that person to be as great as possible. And I think that's right. But it's interesting to think about expertise in this age of adaptability, because the thing is, everything is changing. And even if you're a pilot, you have to be trained and retrained, I think, more today than even 50 years ago, when I think the state of technology was pretty much stable. And I think the instability of technology and the dramatic velocity of information injecting into our world means that to stay an expert is actually much harder today than it was years ago.
I mean, it requires constant thinking, constant learning. I mean, that's what we talk about. But it really requires lifelong learning and not sort of resting on laurels.
Absolutely. And even in, you know, in the context of education, it's interesting to think about with online education. I mean, you know, I'm not going to bash online education because, as you know, I've got about 4,000 math videos out there on the internet. But that's the conveyance of math material. Want to solve this equation? Here's what it means. Here's how to think about it. And here's how to do it. I think that that's different than the expertise of a professor. And that's why I see the importance of the live residential academic institution to be so important today, because it's through that human interaction. It's through that interdiscourse where you as a professor can get to know me and discover my needs, where to challenge me, where to push me, my strengths, where to even, you know, enhance those. Whereas a generic education is one that really is not as, in my opinion, expert as a personalized one.
You know, it's interesting to think about experts in quotes, because what I'm realizing is I have an idea in my head of who I think an expert is. I think an expert is someone older, someone wiser, someone who's had X amount of training. But the reality is, for example, my stepdaughter is an expert in things technological that I'm not. Mm-hmm. She's less than half my age.
Sure.
And I consider her an expert, but she doesn't fit the mold of what a traditional quote unquote expert might be.
You know, it's funny. I grew up, my father was a professional photographer. So he was more on the art side, but he was also entrepreneurial. He had his own studios and so forth. And so when I think of expertise, I think more in terms of a person who is very strong at a particular craft. And the craft could be intellectual. It could be like, you know, proving theorems. Mm-hmm. But to me, craftspeople. And that's something that I see is lacking in today. We don't produce good craftspeople. People that could take great pride and produce really beautiful works, whatever it is, whether it's making a table out of wood or whether it's fixing your automobile or whether it's, you know, doing something abstract. I wonder if globally we're producing enough of these craftspeople, which in some sense is really what you're thinking of as being someone who's an expert or have that expertise. I think that people today, maybe young people, because there's so much stimulation from all different directions, and we've talked about this a lot, that we're kind of overly stimulated, and we feel this compulsion through social media and the internet to kind of have our fingers in everything, that we don't have the ability to focus as deeply as we once did. I have an attention span of a flea, but I think that some young people have attention spans even less than that. And it's interesting to think about that as an educator. Here's a question for you, Jennifer. So think about like a two-day-a-week class that meets for an hour and 15 minutes. Do you believe that the students, and this is not putting down any students, do you believe that the students' focus in that first 5 minutes of class is equal to the students' focus the last 5 minutes?
There's no way it can be.
Exactly. That's reality. And maybe that was always reality, but it's certainly reality today. I mean, students are, you know, checking, you know, their phones and looking at texts and so forth. Well, why don't we as educators embrace that and figure out what to do about that? Maybe I've proposed whimsically that maybe classes should meet like just in 20-minute intervals, but many times throughout the day. So my calculus class, for example, might meet 3 times that day, but for only, you know, 20-minute intervals or 15-minute intervals. And maybe that they'd be able to kind of get more out of that experience. I don't know if that's a good idea or a bad idea, but it's certainly an idea. And these are the kind of ideas we have to think about. Given human beings today, how we define expertise and how we define kind of adaptability and kind of their multifaceted interests, how do we kind of tame those minds and allow them to flourish? That's a challenge.
Well, let's keep people's attention now, not go on too much
longer. You don't think anyone's still listening, do you?
Sure they are, because they want to know the solution to the puzzler.
Oh,
the math puzzler about GPAs.
The last math puzzler was tricky.
Yes.
So you're at some crazy university.
Something.
What's the matter with you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the registrar decides to take on the following activity. So, you know, in the graduating class, the current graduating class, she averages all the men in the class and sees their collective GPA and all the women in the class and the collective GPA and then the average of all of them together. And the question is it possible that when she compares that to the previous graduating class, is it possible that the men's GPA this year is actually higher than the men's last year. The women's GPA this year is higher than the women's last year. And yet, collectively, the total GPA of all of those students together is actually lower this year than it was last year.
All right. So my kind of gut answer is yes.
And yes, that it is possible.
It is possible. And one reason I thought that is because you wouldn't be asking the answer.
Well, there's
no.
A strategy. There is a strategy.
Why would we be discussing this if the answer is no? So
yeah.
I'm saying yes, but I got to say, I don't really have, I can't lay out reasoning for you other than I think I sense that it's yes.
Well, and I love the fact that you have this kind of impressionistic kind of instinct and intuition. And I think that you always have to, that's a great place to start and then move from there. But always in life, you want to go from that kind of fuzzy thinking to a sharper thinking.
Yeah, I'm not done with that part yet.
No, we're all works in progress. In this case, it's just numbers.
Okay.
First of all, the answer is you're absolutely right. Yes.
Okay.
It is possible, even though it seems paradoxical. And just to illustrate that, I'm going to very quickly throw a bunch of numbers at you.
Sure.
Just for you to get a sense of it.
Sure.
Imagine there's 300 students in each of the two graduating classes, last year and this year. Now, let's say that in this year's graduating class, let's start with the previous graduating class,
okay.
The first one. So let's say in last year's graduating class, we had 150 males and 150 females. That just happens to be the breakdown of that particular class in that particular school. Let's say that the average GPA of last year's men was 2.0. And the average GPA of last year's women was 3.5.
Of course.
I'm not going to comment. This is just an example.
Continue.
All right. Look at you editorializing. So much for being a news person. All right. Anyway, so you have half of the students having a GPA of 2.0 and half of the students having a GPA of 3.5. And so if you now find the average of all of them together, which I'll let you figure out how to do, it's not that hard, you get an average of 2.75. So the male average was 2, the female average was 3.5, and the total class average for all of them together is 2.75. Now, let's take a look at this year's graduating class, 300 students. But now suppose that 200 of them were male.
Oh, okay.
And 100 were female.
Uh-huh.
So you have 200 men and 100 women.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Now, suppose that the male GPA rose to 2.1, which, by the way, is higher than the 2.0.
Yes.
So it went up a little bit. And the female GPA was 3.6, which is up from 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
So notice that each one went up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But now when you figure out the average, what happens? Well, now, since you have a dominance of GPAs that are lower, but still a little bit higher than the previous year, but you have more of them. And then in the previous year, you had a population that had a high GPA. That goes up, but you lose that population substantially. Now when you average, you get an average GPA of 2.6, which, notice, is lower than 2.75. So if you just kind of run the numbers, you see that that paradoxical episode scenario can happen. And the life lesson, of course, which is not maybe unrelated to what we're talking about, is that even with things like statistics, when you hear these things, you have to have a level of expertise to make meaning. And there are people out there that will use these numbers and statistics to paint a picture one way, which truly might be inaccurate. It might sound like that's impossible, and in fact, really, it could happen. And so you got to be careful with these things.
Well, it's interesting that you bring up kind of that idea of being careful and paying attention, and just sort of as we wrap up here, because I think another sort of layer to a discussion about experts is it's really the responsibility of anybody who consumes news information to be on the lookout for what an expert means. Because anybody could call themselves an expert, but really, how do you know?
Absolutely. And especially, you know, in terms of political issues or social issues, as you're watching television and it just says, you know, this name of the person and then expert on this, what does that mean? And as lifelong learners, we should always be delving until we are convinced. We shouldn't blindly believe someone else until we believe it ourselves and have the evidence and the background or intuition or whatever it requires you to actually come to your own conclusion. You can be inspired and influenced by these experts, or quite frankly, by non-experts, which might not be a good thing. But at the end of the day, it's up to you to be actively engaged in what you decide you believe.
Thank you, Ed, for helping us to keep our brain sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown. And if you have an idea, we're not claiming to be experts in anything, by the way, but if you have an idea that you would like to hear us talk about, maybe you have a question, you can email it to me and maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode. Just send that to jstayton, S-T-A-Y-T-O-N, at KUT.org. Of course, you can always find out more at southwestern.edu and keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. You can also find us on iTunes. I'm Jennifer Stayton with KUT News. Oh.
Podcast.